Primally Pure just launched their Blue Tansy Body Butter, and it's more than a moisturizer. It's a full body exhale. This is their best-selling body butter formula, reimagined with calming Blue Tansy. It's a rich, whipped body moisturizer packed with barrier-building grass-fed tallow to deeply nourish dry, compromised skin. The texture is cloud-soft but ultra-replenishing. It melts in, protects against moisture loss, and leaves skin visibly smoother and more supple. And the scent? Soft Blue Tansy, lavender and sandalwood. Fresh, subtle, and elevated. If you already love the Blue Tansy deodorant or body oil, this is the perfect next step.
Parles-tu français?
Hablas español?
Parle italiano.
If you've used Babbel, you would. Babbel's conversation-based technique teaches you useful words and phrases to get you speaking quickly about the things you actually talk about in the real world. With lessons handcrafted by over 200 language experts and voiced by real native speakers, Babbel is like having a private tutor in your pocket. Start speaking with Babbel today. Get up to 55% off your Babbel subscription right now at babbel.com/listen. Spelled babbel.com/listen. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
It's been weird. Teams go down 0-2, and then they destroy the other team in game three.
Yes.
Right? It happened in Minnesota. Happened Boston. It happened in... No, it didn't happen in the series. Yeah, it did happen. It didn't destroy them, but they beat them.
They come back and win.
Right? They find a way to win game three.
It's last year in the Denver-Minnesota conference semifinals. Same thing.
Mm-hmm.
It does happen. Now, let's get back to your calls. 888-808-1019. Sam is in Jersey City. How are you, Sam?
What's up, Tim?
Hey, how you guys doing today? Listening in. Yeah, I think one of the main contributors to the is like, I think it's Tibbs, because like you said, Tibbs is just out here lying to the fans. Like, he'll go ahead and start Mitchell, and then somehow Josh Hart ends up playing. Mitchell Robinson, and then Josh Hart ends up playing double Mitchell Robinson's minutes.
Yeah, yes.
And that's like so ridiculous to me. Another thing is the lack of IQ, like one of the earlier guys said. Like, Cat's fourth and fifth foul, it came one from grabbing onto Miles Turner's wrist while Miles Turner's just setting a screen, and the other one from just locking onto his arm. Like, that's just the dumbest thing ever. Why are you doing that? On top of that, Tibbs is running no type of offensive scheme. His offensive scheme is give Jalen Brunson the ball, everyone get out the way, or give Karl-Anthony Towns the ball, everyone get out the way. You have to get more guys involved.
Yeah.
Well, and you have to play defense. The Pacers are too fast. Like, I think the Knicks are the more talented team, but the Pacers, like, they're just too fast. They control the pace in every game. Not once have the Knicks slowed the game down. You have to play defense because you're not going to outscore them. If they get into a shootout in the next game versus the Pacers, they're not winning that game.
Yeah, no, you're
right. They are not beating the Pacers in a shootout.
No,
they have to slow them down.
Yeah, but that's easier said than done. Because the Knicks also kind of want to play fast offensively.
Yeah, but they can't against this team.
I know they can't, but setting up half-court offenses over and over and over again and then missing shots, say that if that's what they do, you're really going to get blown out of the water.
Getting to his point about Cat, watching someone every day, you learn more about them. You know, you could read box scores, you could see stats, you could watch nationally televised games as much as you want. You don't know a player until you watch him every day. And sometimes when you watch a player every day, you appreciate their greatness.
Mm-hmm.
You watch a player and you're like, wow, that's amazing. I've had the chance to do that as a fan. I watched Jason Kidd every day for 7 years, 6.5 years. And it was, wow, he's even better than those triple doubles. He's amazing. He's an artist on the floor. Watching Karl-Anthony Towns every day, I'll say this as respectfully as I can, he plays dumb. He plays dumb. And he brought up the foul example in which he's holding Miles Turner's hand. It's a great point. And he does that way too often. Way too often we see him commit these kinds of fouls in which you're like, you can't do that.
Right.
You're taking yourself off the floor. You're going to make yourself less aggressive defensively, obviously, if you get into foul trouble. And, like, certain fouls are good fouls. They're smart fouls. They're hard fouls. You're defending. It happens. Some of the fouls that Karl-Anthony Towns commits, you shake your head and you're like, what?
I hate to keep coming back to the same issue, but they look like fatigue fouls.
Well, then that goes back to the regular season that they played too much then.
Well, I don't think they played too much because they're...
Then why are they tired?
Because they're trying to run with the Pacers, and you just can't keep the pace of the Pacers. They're used to playing that fast. The Knicks are not.
But some of those fouls are early, so it's even early in a game. So yeah. Is it fatigue or is it low IQ?
I'm talking collective fatigue, not fatigue in the game. I can't put it on low IQ because I don't think he's a low IQ player. When you see guys make dumb mistakes that you know they don't usually make, to me, that's usually lapses because you're, I don't know, you can't collect yourself. And they're too good to not be collecting themselves as often as they don't.
Jacob is calling from Monroe. Good afternoon, Jacob.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm doing great. And Aaron Judge is also doing great. He's the king of New York, no?
Is this a plant by Marash? What is this?
I have nothing.
Where's Jalen Brunson? I don't see him. He's not a king of New York. Being clutch is never king unless you win a championship.
Well, Judge hasn't won a championship.
You shouldn't have given him the crown before he won a championship. Judge is not clutch. He's the king because he has 62 home runs in the season. He has a batting average of .395.
If you've ever tried putting sunscreen on kids, you know it can turn into a full negotiation or a meltdown. It used to be a bit of a battle for us until I found Primally Pure Sunstick. It's super quick, no mess, no rubbing anything in forever. You just swipe it on and you're done. It's mineral-based with non-nano zinc and really simple ingredients, which I feel good about using on my kids. It's just clean, easy coverage that doesn't slow us down. So if you've ever stood there reading the back of a sunscreen bottle, shop Primally Pure's SPF collection for simple, non-toxic ingredients you can trust.
So who's the king of New York then? Is that what's your answer to that?
Aaron Judge.
Oh, it is Aaron. Well, you just defeated your whole purpose because you said you got to win a championship. He hasn't won a championship. No one in this loser town has won a championship.
And we're going to get to this at a later date. I don't think today's the day for it, but last night's fourth quarter, I think, officially summed up Jalen Brunson's not the king of New York.
No, it does not.
And that's dead.
It doesn't officially do anything.
He's got to be dethroned, Sean.
Yeah. Well, he should have never been put on the throne to begin with. You can't have the drop fly, but you can't. You know what? Not time for it. Just know that he's not, and he gave it up last
Are you
night.
Watching the Eastern Conference Finals under squarely the prism of Jason Brunson's kingness?
Jalen Brunson.
Is that what I just said?
You said Jason.
Jalen Brunson.
Squarely?
Sorry, I was fantasizing about Jason Kidd 5 minutes ago. Speaking of better times.
Who Stan Van Gundy brought up last night, which I thought was fascinating. But, no, Evan, I'm not watching it squarely through that prism. I'm watching it as an IBO, some might call it. And part of my IBO folder is this guy whose only bucket in the fourth quarter when he's missed a clutch comes with 16 seconds left is the king of New York, my fat ass. So call whatever prism you want.
Well, I think the problem you're running into is I'm going to use something you said to me against you. Back in February, when Jalen Brunson had some kind of crazy performance and we rekindled the king of New York debate, you said, hey, look, this isn't fair. Aaron Judge isn't playing in February.
Right.
So it's easy for you to just talk about Jalen Brunson. What about come July? You know, when Aaron Judge hits 4 home runs in a game and he's hitting .395, it'll be easier for me to win the case. I think the problem you have now is we're talking postseason basketball.
Okay.
And yes, Jalen Brunson has not been perfect. Well, think about what happened in postseason baseball last October. Right now, Aaron Judge is not playing postseason baseball. He's not striking out with guys on base.
I agree.
He's not being carried by his teammates. So what hurts Brunson benefits Judge in that the flashlight, if you will, not flashlight, the light, the big
spotlight.
Light, spotlight of October is not currently on him.
I would agree. However, I've always made this case. When it comes to doing King of New York stuff, when it comes to basketball players like Jalen Brunson, you need to grade on a curve. A lot more opportunities, the ball in your hands, it's different than baseball. And on the curve right now, if you're going out versus the Pacers in back-to-back years, and Pacers got a little Astros in them to the Knicks.
Not gone out to the Indiana Pacers yet. I know we are in such a rush to end this basketball season. We're in a rush to talk about Giannis Antetokounmpo. We're in a rush to talk about Kings of New York. We're in a rush to fire Tom Thibodeau. That is not fair. They are down 3-1. It doesn't look good. The series is not over. The season is not over. So whether it's you with the King of New York or someone else talking about firing the coach or trading for players, we'll get there. Just not yet. I think that's disrespectful to what's going on in this series.
Okay. I agree, because it's not over yet.
Right. Exactly. Whether we think it's over or not, it's irrelevant.
Until tomorrow.
Possibly tomorrow.
With my new prediction.
That embalming fluid's out. That means it's over. That's over.
I trust you as far as I can throw right now. Mr. Let's Get the Broom Out with the Pacers up big.
You texted that to me.
I don't remember that. Reggie is calling from White Plains. How are you, Reggie?
Cheeky Ev. Listening to the afternoon drive since the 90s, man. Pleasure to speak to you guys.
Likewise, Reggie.
Thanks for calling, man. What's up?
Got it. Listen, I'm going to tell you why I think Jalen isn't the king, unfortunately, because I'm a big Knicks fan. My uh-oh moment came in game one. The collapse was happening. Under a minute left, Pacers had to foul. Ball in Brunson's hands. I said to myself, we're good. Jalen's going to make these free throws. And what happened? Jalen gave the rock up. He passed it over to Towns. Mm-hmm. And when that happened, I turned to my brother. And I said, my jaw dropped. I said, wow, maybe he's not the guy. And maybe it's to your point, Tiki. I think that he was gassed. And they're kind of floundering down the stretch in these games.
Right. I mean, you feel it and you can see it when guys, like, there's an extra energy that makes you, I don't want to say extra athletic, but you know what I mean. Like, you go above your athleticism and you make the play. And you're like, oh, that guy's awesome. You didn't see it. You saw it from the Pacers. You don't see it from the Knicks.
The thing
I lied, because you did see it from Cat in game three, right? When he's beasting in the lane. He's like, I don't care who's here. I'm bullying my way to the basket. And if you're in my way, you're going to get hurt type of thing. But you don't see that enough from enough of these guys. And so to me, it's telling me that they're just, like, they're gassed. They're fatigued. And there's something that's making their minds and their bodies not do what they're capable of doing in those moments. Because we've seen them do it.
Yeah.
It's just not happening enough or consistently enough.
One thing that they have improved on after that game one collapse is that they lost game one partially because they could not make free throws.
Yes.
And it's a killer. And it's been a killer throughout Knick history. If you go to a lot of the brutal Knick losses, like take the Reggie Miller game,
mm-hmm.
the 8 points in the 8.5 seconds. John Starks missed 2 big free throws.
Right.
Like, we sort of forget that, or maybe we don't forget that, but big free throws were missed. So you go back to game one, they missed 12 free throws. It was unacceptable. Since game one, the New York Knicks are making 87% of their free throws. They have responded in these last three games mm-hmm. by taking advantage of their opportunities at the line.
Right. So now the problem is you can't apply that, revise history and apply that to game one, because then we'd be 2-2 right now.
Everything would be different.
It'd be so different.
I can't even say it would be 2-2 because I think the mentality of everything is different. If the Knicks are up 1-0, I can't assume game two is going to play out exactly the way it did.
True.
Maybe the Knicks don't lose. Maybe they're up 2-0. So I know we like to do this with series. We did this in the Boston series. Celtic fans did it all the time. Oh, it would really be 1-1 or it would mm-hmm. be 2-0. Like, you can't do that. Everything changes when a result changes. Here are the facts. They're down 3-1. Can they come back? Yes. Are we confident they're going to come back? No, because the Knicks are going to have to do something they haven't done in a while, and that's be consistently at their best for 3 straight games. And I've been notified that we did our math wrong when we tried to do 48 times 3. It's 144. We claimed 148. So our apologies. Bad mouth. We're off by 4 minutes.